At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Mandate of one Texan segment per show was in real trouble. We had a lot of Texan sound to get to. Don't think I was going to be able to just squeeze it into one segment. But then we got the FBI and their actions, and now there's a chance. We got college football to discuss. I can look at the guys from Bussin' with the Boys on ESPN talking about Aaron Rodgers. There may be a chance. We only do Texans talk for one segment. Maybe.
We'll see how interesting the sound is of how they're going to fix it and how they're definitely going to fix it.
It's a lot of...
How it's on them. Yeah. It's on each one, each person talking. It's on them.
It's a lot of... We tell them what to do, but they don't do it. Okay. We'll eventually get to that. But the big story in sports all morning long is something I got to admit, I didn't care about until I found out what Chauncey Billups was up to. If you just told me Chauncey Billups was doing things involving sports betting, I'm like, okay, he bet on the Seahawks versus the Rams. I don't care. Even if he did it illegally, I don't care about sports betting. Legally, illegally, whether it brings on a criminal charge, it's not something that gets me excited. Like, we had a call yesterday. Are you excited about the Spurs versus the Mavericks? No, I wasn't. And I wouldn't be excited about this. It's like, speaking of, with the mafia, this is the business we've chosen. This is the business I've chosen. This is the bargain I've made that I just assume sports isn't clean. I assume there are things going on that I don't know about that may directly affect the game. I don't care about to get into conspiracy theories about what ref is favoring the Chiefs or not, whatever. That's part of NFL Twitter. But I just assume, like when you go to a fast food restaurant, you know you're eating things that aren't good for you, but this is what you're doing. You understand it. They understand it. We all get it. But when I find out that Chauncey Billups is involved in an illegal poker ring with ties to the mafia, allegedly, and he is the face card, as it was put by the FBI, to attract people to come play. Hey, yeah, the card game's a little sketchy, but Chauncey and Damon Jones are there, so let's go and play. And Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones are in on it. And if you come to the game and you're considered one of the fish, Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones get you there. They're in on the scam, and they're using technology, not them, but the other people who are part of the criminal conspiracy are using technology, and also someone off site who's kind of radioing in information to the person deemed the quarterback to take all of your money. Now I'm interested. Now I got to figure out, why is Chauncey Billups involved in something like this? Is he just an out-and-out a-hole scumbag that's like, you know what? Yeah, I got millions, but you know what make me feel better? Taking these people's money. Or the more I've seen this on The Sopranos aspect of it, is Chauncey's into the mob for lots of money. And sure, they could have him try to affect games, but they'd rather have him do this because it feels like a way to get away with something until they didn't get away with it. So I got to know, and we didn't get that from the FBI press conference, why did Chauncey Billups, and to a lesser extent, Damon Jones, I care less about that.
I was going to say, I don't feel comfortable making both Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones the face cards of this. Chauncey Billups, face card.
You don't think people would want to play with Damon
Jones? Hey, don't you want to play poker with Damon Jones?
Former NBA rotation player, Damon Jones?
I'm saying he's like a...
He played with LeBron. He played with Shaq.
He's not a
he
face.
He can tell you stories about
yeah,
playing
no,
with LeBron
I would
and
rather
Shaq.
Play with LeBron and Shaq.
Yeah, but LeBron and
but
Shaq.
But Chauncey Billups beat Shaq in the finals.
He's got a cool nickname. He's Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah.
And so, yes, the Chauncey Billups, certainly the biggest
Damon Jones
star.
Is like a seven.
Like a seven of hearts?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like it, I mean, they said face card, I'm assuming, because it's poker
yeah.
is what they're talking
the
about.
Yeah,
so.
I used that terminology.
Yeah, so, you know. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
I need, it's just broke.
Will Terry Rozier be there? No, that's his own thing.
He's involved
man.
In actual sports betting.
I want to ask him about Louisville.
So that's the other side of the coin. Terry Rozier was arrested this morning. Terry Rozier was a DNP last night in Orlando as the Heat play a close game against the Magic. And it was a competitive ball game. Nice start to the season, particularly for the Magic because they won. But he didn't play, but he was on site.
Just soaking it in one last time.
I don't think he knew.
Okay.
Because the FBI does it in a way where you don't know. They just roll up on you, even if you're at the team hotel. And that's where he was. That he had not left Orlando yet. They got a game tomorrow against the Grizz. The Grizz get a nice win against the Pelicans. Ja Morant, very nice opening night for him. And he just gets pulled out of his hotel room Thursday morning. And he's now in custody as well. So that's what happened to all of them. Damon Jones, Chauncey, who played or coached a close game as Ant Edwards went for 40 and beat the Blazers in Portland. You know, he's at his home. He might be up because he's a coach, but he's playing a game that he probably doesn't get home till maybe midnight or something. Maybe he's got his first cup of coffee thinking, you know what, tough loss, yeah. but I feel pretty good about my team. If Shaden Sharpe shot a little bit better, maybe we win the game. All of those concerns.
When do we get Scoot Henderson? Yeah, just
all those concerns. Yeah. Yang Hansen, we'll see. gave him a couple minutes. Hope the kid continues to develop. Nah, stop with that. That's no longer your concern at this point. So when do we get the Portland Trail Blazers with the expected? We are aware of the situation. We have no further comment at this time. But of course, since our coach is arrested, we need an interim, so they'll have to name one.
Noon?
Yeah.
Are, 2 hours?
Do you think the Blazers are up? It's only 8 o'clock in the West Coast.
Okay. So
were they
10 Pacific.
I can guarantee none of the people who had any decision-making power were up when this happened. Like, the Blazers weren't up.
I know. But, someone got a phone call that, like,
definitely.
Our head coach got, got arrested.
I was thinking about this because...
Wait, I was catching up on task. Now I got to deal with this?
Or maybe you were watching the latest episode of Slow Horses. Who knows? On Apple TV Plus, but I was thinking about this, considering what we do for a living and how early I have to get up. I don't know that anyone who covers Portland basketball as their livelihood was up when this happened.
Oh, yeah.
They were at the game last night, late night for a sports writer or even a podcaster, one of those, what's it called? Locked On. The Locked On Portland Trailblazers podcast. Those guys had gone to sleep. They weren't up. They're waking up to this, waking up to their head coach being in the custody of the FBI.
So it looks like this. I'm trying to look at the earliest report. Looks like it was 7:07 Central Time.
So 5:07 their time.
Yeah.
When I know Terry Rozier was arrested, at least the report of his arrest was like an hour before Chauncey Billups, that report. So the Terry Rozier thing wasn't that surprising, even though the NBA had cleared him because he was in the news. Pablo Torre, who's done a lot of investigative journalism, Pablo Torre finds out the podcast, said Malik Beasley, his availability to be a free man was all about whether the Department of Justice wanted to take it to that level, because we know the NBA had said Malik's fine. And he made a couple bets on non-basketball stuff. But apparently that was still up in the air. If Malik Beasley was going to be arrested, at least with the initial six people that included three names we know of. So that's the big news this morning. And when do we find out why Chauncey Billups did it? Why did he decide now was the time? And this actually stretches back years. So I'm not sure he did it as a Portland Trailblazers head coach. It may have, it probably was, unless it's going back 15 years, in between his time as a head coach and when he was a player. Now he has assistant on his resume too, I think. So I'm not sure when this all happened. I didn't hear that in the initial press conference. But why, Chauncey? Yeah. Why?
It's hard to imagine being a NBA head coach and having time to partake in a illegal gambling ring. Like it does feel time. Like we said, like he was up late last night. He's got hold on. He finishes up with this press conference. Oh, I need to meet Fat Tony for a card game.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, you mentioned Fat Tony. The FBI was thrilled to announce they went after members of the five families. They mentioned the families, those families we've heard about really since we were alive, those Italian families who were part of the La Cosa Nostra.
Yeah, that's good, because I said Fat Tony. I realized I didn't know if it was Italian mafia.
It Israeli mob, yeah, like Gilbert Arenas Russian. Was involved in, the yeah. Russian mob. But at least according to Cash Patel and the FBI,
okay.
He mentioned the name Gambino.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a Fat Tony, but there's probably a Tony somewhere.
Somewhere down the line.
At least there's an Anthony somewhere.
There's a Fat Tony.
At least there's an Anthony somewhere along the line. So there it is. That's the news this morning. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm sure there will be more information. I need some explanation. Damon Jones, I almost kind of get.
Like, Damon Jones, I'm like, yeah.
He's been out of basketball. He hasn't been an assistant coach for almost 8-10 years now.
Yeah. And when he played, like, they didn't make that much money. Especially Damon Jones didn't make that much money.
He made millions, which you think would keep you out of this. I just need to know what the draw was.
Yeah.
Am I just looking at just awful people who wanted to steal, or were they coerced because they were in to the mob for lots of money and this was the only way they could make good? We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, and then how are they in deep with the mob for lots of money?
Exactly. Was it gambling? Hmm. Was it bets? Or was it games they didn't throw that they should have thrown? Or was it blackmail because they had all the information about them? These are all the speculations. I don't know. The FBI didn't give us that. Yeah. And Terry Rozier, who isn't involved in the poker games.
This is more the straightforward kind of just betting on unders.
He was alleged to have inside information and give that to people to help in their betting.
Oh, okay.
In their betting.
So he was helping. Oh, okay.
Yes.
He was like, hey, Jimmy Butler threw a basketball at Chris Quinn's head today at practice.
Or
maybe
Jimmy Butler's knees flaring and he won't play. Yeah. Stuff like that. Although he didn't spend that much time with Jimmy, because this stuff goes back to his time with Charlotte. I mean, telling everyone Lonzo Ball's not available is not breaking news.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think the Hornets are going to win tonight. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
thanks.
There is a report of...
Just helping you out, Fat Tony.
Someone placing like 40-plus bets on Terry Rozier in like 30 minutes. Or maybe not Terry Rozier, but the Hornets themselves and Terry Rozier props or something like that in like 30 minutes back in 2023. That's kind of the smoking gun when it comes to Terry Rozier and his involvement. And we'll go to break with this. His lawyer said this to Pablo Torre, finds out. We have represented Terry Rozier for over a year. A long time ago, we reached out to these prosecutors to tell them we should have an open line of communication. They characterized Terry as a subject, not a target. But at 6 a.m. this morning, they called to tell me FBI agents were arresting him or were trying to arrest him in a hotel. It is unfortunate that instead of allowing him to self-surrender, they opted for a photo op, which is what at least this administration accused the last one of doing. And now it's happening again, but this time with sporting figures. They wanted the misplaced glory of embarrassing a professional athlete with a perp walk. That tells you a lot about the motivations in this case. They appear to be taking the word of spectacularly incredible, in-credible, not like incredible like the Incredibles, but in-credible sources rather than relying on actual evidence of wrongdoing. Terry was cleared by the NBA, and these prosecutors revived that non-case. Terry is not a gambler, but he is not afraid of a fight, and he looks forward to winning this fight. Lawyer of Terry Rozier, Jim Trusty. We will go to break with that. As it stands now, Damon Jones, Terry Rozier, and Chauncey Billup all in federal custody.
I'm looking for the photo.
Which photo?
The photo op of the perp walk?
Yeah, I don't know if that's been on CNN video-wise. I haven't seen it. So maybe the lawyer is just talking trash because I have not seen that pop up anywhere. Maybe it'll show up before we're done for the day. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will hear from athletes not involved in betting or awful poker scandals. We'll hear from the Texans, which might have made you feel bad on Monday, but at least they're not involved in this.
They're still free men.
Yes. CJ Stroud will be at the facility today working on a way to beat the 49ers. We'll hear from CJ. We'll hear from Kymie Fairbairn. He explains what happened with that fateful kick off that led to them not being able to get a stop and maybe get one more possession. So we'll hear from him and CJ when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Stand by, cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
Kane is in the building.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to Texan stuff, but as we continue to read up on what was said in that FBI presser, Damon Jones connects both of these separate enterprises, because Damon Jones was dabbling in the sports betting stuff and also the illegal poker, or at least the illegal poker games that led to alleged stealing money from victims. According to The Athletic, the player that Damon Jones used for inside info was none other than his good friend LeBron James. It was back in February of 2023. Damon Jones passed on information about LeBron sitting out a game against Milwaukee before he passed that information on to bettors before the world knew that LeBron was going to sit out. So Jones allegedly told others to bet on Milwaukee after learning LeBron would sit out with ankle soreness before it was on the injury report. And of course, Damon Jones is also part of the poker ring as well. Just reading some of the things that the FBI said today, we got a real problem here with naming the operation Nothing But Net.
That's honestly
atrocious.
They should throw the case out. Honestly, they should all go home.
Operation Nothing But Net. That's what the sports betting prong of the investigation was called. The poker part was called Operation Royal Flush.
Naming the operation would be so much fun, and they went with this?
Yeah. I think there's a conspiracy against point guards. Look at all the players involved. Chauncey, Billups, Damon Jones, Terry Rozier. In some way, shape, or form, even if you didn't want to call them traditional point guards, they're all point guards.
Operation Jailblazer.
It's a callback to the 90s as well.
Come on.
What are we doing? Something instead. And Terry Rozier was a Louisville Cardinal, Operation House of Cards. We're just riffing
Come
here.
On.
And we got names. We're just riffing. Come on.
I would leave this job today if they gave me a job at the FBI just naming like the operation.
Damon Jones was a Coug. What former franchise and now back existed in Houston? Operation Houston Gambler. We got them all. That's not as great as the other two. But there are ways to make this fun, and they just ruined it.
No, just by going, Googling. They just Googled poker term.
Yeah.
Royal Flush.
Operation Straight. Well, that's not enough. Yeah. We gotta go with something else. So there it is. You know the names of the operations. You know the people involved.
I wish I didn't.
Yeah, it's bad.
Nothing but Net. That's so long.
Yeah, it's too long of a name. Yeah.
Think of all the great Operation Paperclip. You know, the Manhattan Project. Like, it's got to be short.
Yeah, it's a bad job by them. The big thing.
Operation Swish would be better, and that's still not good.
No, it's not. Here is the the big point that's going to cause Terry Rozier some problems, at least the one that's reported. On March 2023, Terry Rozier is alleged to have told defendants that he was going to leave a game early with an injury. The defendants then placed more than $200,000 of wagers on the unders for his prop bets, with Rozier leaving the game after 9 minutes. Those bets paid out tens of thousands of dollars in profits. And here's my favorite part. And the defendants and Rozier counted the money at his house. They just got it all in cash and started doling out people's
licking
cuts.
The thumb.
Yeah. Who's got to wet their beak here? We got to put aside 50 for the capo.
Oh, Fat Tony's daughter's getting married. Let's give them a little bit extra.
Make sure you got all your white envelopes ready
to
put the cash in. So Terry Rozier will be in a federal court today in Orlando. Don't have to travel very far. That's where he was arrested. And Chauncey Billups will be in a federal court in Oregon. I don't know where Damon Jones will be. Maybe he's already gone in front of a judge. Who knows?
Honestly, Damon Jones sounds like the most interesting part of this because he had
a bit in both.
Yeah, so he seems more tied in. But unfortunately for him, he's not a current NBA player or a Finals MVP turned coach. So I feel like he'll get the short end of the stick on this. But he also LeBron's friend. That should count for something.
What are the chances of some
LeBron has to testify?
No, man, I don't know. Well,
did you not say that Kobe was going for 81 before he went for 81?
I don't know if that's what they'll call him to the court to testify.
What is your favorite
on?
Godfather quote?
Those are all things Russell Westbrook would like.
Yeah, he's on the jury. He's on the jury.
Jury of your peers, not of your teammates.
Former
although,
teammates.
Although, that's
Kevin
that
Love
be,
is there.
That would be a peer. Played on the same court at times and on the same team as well. What are the chances something operationally goes wrong and people go free? Considering it, I guess it's
like 30?
It depends on your opinion of this particular leader of the FBI. And do you think he's competent? Because if you think he's competent, then probably it's lower than 30. But if you think there's some incompetency involved, then it may be higher than
that. At least Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups can probably afford really good lawyers. Especially
Rozier can, too.
He was having to work for the mob.
Chauncey Billups.
I don't think he was having to, though. I think he kind of wanted to.
So you think he's just now bad guy?
I think he just made friends. He made bad friends.
Bad influences.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at Damon Jones' career earnings because you have been very flagrant on...
I mean, he was a bench player his entire career in the 90s and 2000s. So just we're in a league where Tari Eason turned down a $100 million contract.
It's a different time. Understood.
that's all it is that... There might be some sticker shock for what, like, the eighth man on the Cavs made.
He started making money the year that he got to play with Shaq in Miami. He got a, I think he might have been one of Shaq's friends. That's why he got the deal. Don't remember exactly. $2.5 million, and then he never made less than $3.5 million the rest of his career. So he's made good enough money where he shouldn't be involved in this.
I think the fact he's involved with this...
I keep giving you Chauncey Billups. Why is he involved in it if money is the reason why?
Well, these guys spend a lot more money than we think. We think that...
Oh, I know. The overhead is high.
If I made $3.5 million for whatever many years...
No, I get it.
I wouldn't have to be the inside man on an NBA gambling ring. I think, living in South Beach is expensive, Del.
Well,
he
didn't always live in South Beach. He only did that for a year.
I know. He lived in Ohio for a while.
So, I'm just rounding down because I'm not using the 4.4. You go 11, 14, 16. That's from 05 to 09. He made $16 million plus. And then, of course, the smaller contracts as he was trying to make his way in the league. You're in the range, if I just start doing the real math, you're in the range of, what, $19 million made over, like, a 5 to 6 year span. Even Damon Jones should have nothing to do with this unless he's would be on one of those broke docks if they still made those.
I think he kind of would be.
This is just us figuring things out because I don't understand any of it.
Terry Rozier, I'm like, oh, he was making what? How much was this Hornets contract?
He was in averaging 20 plus a year.
Yeah,
that's the real question.
I remember Terry Rozier being one of the guys where it's like, wow, new money in the NBA is crazy. Terry Rozier is making this much.
He signed a 4-year, $96 million deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tari Eason's like, I would never sign that.
Chump change.
You kidding me?
Yeah, we played the sound yesterday of Tari Eason turning down. We don't know the years, but we would assume.
It's like four?
Five. I don't think he was making. I don't think they offered him $25 million a year. Yeah. Probably 5 years, $100 million. Brian Windhorst said it wasn't all guaranteed. Either way, Tari Eason said, I'm spitting on that contract.
Watch this.
Yeah, watch me have an awful game.
Dribble off his foot
and my first
transition.
Chance to prove you wrong. But that's Rocket stuff. We got Rocket stuff later. Maybe we'll talk about them tomorrow with no game tonight, right?
They have nothing to do with the FBI.
Not mentioned at all in this.
Unless it's like a LeBron game against the Rockets where sat out.
The game that was mentioned was LeBron versus the Bucks. So
okay. So Giannis has something to do with this.
Yeah, he happened
in to testify.
He happened to be the other guy on the other side in the uniform. That's what he had to do.
What does the Nassus know?
The Nassus is just happy that Giannis is his brother. He
wakes up every morning.
It's a meal ticket for the rest of his life. All right, we'll go to break and then we'll talk Texans because it looks like we have exhausted this part of the story until we hear more information or read more information. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. That sigh audibly with some Sean.
It's because Texans talk is coming.
We'll hear from the guys. How about a new voice? We don't really hear from Kaimi because he's never really has to be asked questions. But he made a mistake, and he explained why he made it. And then we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on why things are going bad in games when they don't go bad in practice. We'll hear from those two when we come back.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Going back to Monday night, the Texans somehow, some way, if things broke perfectly for them, would have had a chance to lead a game-tying drive. They were down 27-19, had just scored a touchdown, and all the talk was they got to kick this ball out of bounds or kick it through the end zone because you need a play to be run before the two-minute warning. You have your one timeout as well. You needed it to go perfectly, and of course, we know the result. It didn't go perfectly. They did everything they could to screw it up. Let's start with the first screw-up and the player you would deem responsible. D'Amico Ryans talked about it after the game. The plan was to kick the ball out of bounds or at least kick it through the end zone. Kaimi Fairbairn did not execute that. Here's Kaimi Fairbairn when asked about what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I was disappointed about how that play ended up. The game plan was clear to me when I was told it was kick it a touchback or kick it out of bounds. We couldn't give them opportunity to get the ball and waste time and save that 2 minute. Analyzing the kick, I was a little bit too aggressive in that situation than I should have been. I should have been a lot more conservative, and I also just mishit the kick. I looked at that. I'm not going to make that mistake again, and I'll get it corrected.
So, user error. He was told, he understood, he simply did not execute, and it's tough when you're the kicker. Hey, man, just kick it as hard as you can. At worst, they come out to what, the 35? Just kick it as hard as you can out of the end zone, and we keep it moving.
Either kick it as hard as you can, or just kick it sideways, out of bounds.
Whatever it takes, just do your job. It's not that difficult. Just do it. That's what people would be thinking when you're the kicker.
It's tough because it's not like make a kick. It is kick it out of bounds.
But even – or kick it.
Kick it out of bounds is like the bare minimum.
What you're saying. If you kick it 8 yards deep and the guy says, you know what, because the returner understands what has to go on, he may still bring it out. So, of course, kicking it out of the end zone, at the back of the end zone, is what you have to do. Maybe he didn't have the leg for it that night. So, if that's the case, kick it out of bounds. He didn't do any of that, and it led to the first play by the Seahawks being run after to 2 minute timeout. And of course, the Texans were still on track to get the ball back with very few seconds remaining. And then Tim Settle was called for the penalty that extended, well, didn't extend the drive, just gave him a first down, and Seattle could run out the clock. So they screwed that up. And this leads to what DeMeco Ryan said yesterday. He talked about, almost in an incredulous tone, about how the things they tell them to do in practice doesn't happen. They don't happen during the game. So here's DeMeco Ryans on that.
I'm figuring out why things are happening. It's always baffling as a coach when you go through and you practice a certain thing and you work it a certain way and guys get in the game and do something completely different. Well, that's being disjointed. Like, we got to be on the same page. And not on the same page, like we don't know what we're doing. We just got to do what we called. We got to run what we call, right? The techniques we work, the things we establish throughout training camp, we got to do that, right? And when we do that, you'll see we operate efficiently. We are able to be in the right spot defensively, special teams-wise. We're able to get our blocks done the right way when we just execute what we practice all week, right? You can't get in a game. So I told our guys, you can't get in a game and overcomplicate football. I know football can be a complex game within a game, but to me, football is simple. And you make it simple, you keep it simple, and allow guys to go play fast. All right, and that's what we've done, but we don't need to make things up. We don't need to try to do something or press and make a play. Just be like, we just have to stay with what we've been coached to do. Do it the right way every single time. When I say it's one snap at a time, that's what I truly mean. It's not, oh, I need to make this big play. You need to focus in one snap at a time. Do exactly what you're coached to do. When we do that, we play well. When we get outside of that and we try to do more, that's when we don't play well. So it's not complicated to play this game. We don't need to make it that way. Let's play fast and let's play fun.
It reminds me of that clip from, was it the Monday night game, where Tommy Togiai makes a play. DeMeco's mic'd up, and he talks about, yeah, just do your job. Do your job and see what happens. I don't know if that's been a prevailing theme for him since training camp started. We know one of the reasons C.J. Gardner-Johnson isn't a Texan anymore is because he wouldn't just do his job. Most prominently on the Brian Thomas long catch and run that set up the game-winning points for the Jags in that loss. I guess the Texans don't do what their coaches tell them. And it's another form of saying, hey, all you got to do is execute. That was just a longer version of, we got to execute.
I will say it's more pointed. Much more pointed at the players. Normally, yes. It's like, you know, hey, listen. We know, you know, it's like not as like, I'm telling them what to do. They just won't do it. Like that's not quite Bill O'Brien. It ends with me or it starts with me.
And it's true. We hear.
Like this is very, like. Like I think it's because he says it as he's like kind of chuckling and like smiling, is like doesn't come off as like a coach kind of just ripping his players.
Well, what he's saying is we are putting them in position to
I'm doing all I can
do things well.
These guys are messing
and
it up.
They're simply ignoring it for whatever reason, and that's why things are going poorly for us.
And honestly, for the defense, what did he tell him, like, hey, cover Jackson Smith and Jigba. Hey. Kamari Lassiter, guard him.
I'm sure there are times where they believe technique fails them. Of course, your technique fails you because the guy on the other side of you messes with your technique because of how good he is.
He's also an NFL player.
Yes, but I'm sure defensive coaches will say, if you just do it the way you're supposed to, that guy's not getting open.
I think JSN's getting it open.
Yeah.
So as far as defense goes...
They don't give up a lot of points.
It's kind of working.
It works. They don't give up a lot of points. They forced four turnovers yesterday, and it's still, I mean, Monday, and it still wasn't enough.
Now, the offense, different story.
Well,
I'm willing to believe that they're not doing what they're being told. I'm willing to believe that Nick Haley is putting them in all the bright positions to succeed, and they're just coming up short. They're just not doing it for some reason.
How about. He's not putting them in the right position to succeed, and even when he does, they don't do what they're supposed to. I think it might be a combo of things.
But if he's not putting them in the position to succeed, then them not doing that should lead them to success.
No. What I'm saying is...
it's just different failure.
There are different failures in different places. There are times when he would be putting them in the right spot and they don't make it work. And there are times when he doesn't and they don't make it work. That's how this offense...
it just doesn't work.
That's how this offense reads to me. But your quarterback is still confident. Let's get to CJ before we wrap up the segment. CJ Stroud yesterday was asked about several things. Why they have a issue of picking up blitzers on delayed blitzes. He discussed that. But the questions kept coming, and it eventually led to him talking about him still being confident in what they're capable of. So here's CJ Stroud yesterday on where his confidence is.
I think, you know, like Monday for me, of course, wasn't my best outing. I don't think I played well, but to me, like, it really starts with preparation. I thought I prepared as best as I could for that game, and sometimes you go out there and lay an egg, but my confidence is as high as ever. I have the most confidence not only in my team but in myself, you know, and I'm just going to continue to show up every game. And, you know, I think as time goes on, you start clicking more and more and more. You know, you can see when we were playing against Tennessee and Baltimore and then had the bye, came out, we had a really good week of practice, but sometimes that just happens. And so I think the focus for me is to stay confident in my process and my preparation and myself, you know. So I'm going to continue to do that, and I'm going to continue to get better in areas I need to get better in. But, yeah, there's things schematically as well, or footwork and different things like that I can always get better in as well.
Do you think the Texans at some point will come to the realization that whatever they did against the Titans and the Ravens doesn't matter? Will they realize that those are outliers to the way NFL football usually works, and whatever you thought was working and did work there and got nothing to do with all the other opponents you play until you see Tennessee again? Because I understand they felt great for those five quarters and the rhythm they developed.
They look great too.
But those are those two games, and really five quarters, because the first three quarters, you look very similar to what you've looked like all through the rest of the year against the Titans, that those first three quarters. Those five quarters are a separate part of your season. Don't reference them anymore, because you know nothing you've done besides those five quarters looks anything like it. That doesn't matter. You are the team that we saw against the Seahawks. You are the team we saw against the Bucks. You're the team we saw against the Rams. You're the team we saw against the Jags. You are not that team that we saw against the Ravens and the Titans. Nope, that should not be something you consider about, hey, look, we had a good week of practice. Who cares? All right, I'm done there. We'll go to break.
Thank you.
I just can't listen to it anymore.
Yeah, it's...
I can't listen to that. Them referencing those two games.
That's why, and it honestly goes back to last year with how they talked about the offensive line last year, where it's like not a problem. It is like the absolute, like, I don't know if it's them just getting up there and lying, but it, you know, it's also annoying just getting lied to constantly.
Or they're delusional. I'm not sure which one it is.
I'm not sure which one it is. Either way, it's very annoying to hear for basically 12 straight months now.
All we're asking is for them to be a little self-aware.
Yeah.
Like, hey, CJ, you played a lot of college football, and we've made the comps over and over again about how those two teams were more like directional schools. CJ, the Ravens were Tulsa. You know what you did against Tulsa? I'll give them a little bit more credit. They're like Rutgers in 2021, where you threw for five touchdowns and went 17-23 and 330 yards and a 52-13 win. Ravens of 2025 are Rutgers of 2021. Maybe if I put it in those terms, they'll realize that ain't real comp.
Yeah, and every other team is Michigan, especially Mike McDonald.
Yeah,
literally,
yes.
Michigan's
the connection
defensive coordinator
is certainly there. So, you know, the Titans, that fourth quarter, I also wish they would acknowledge they weren't good for three quarters. That fourth quarter was Toledo in 2022 when it was 77-21. You threw for five touchdowns for going 22-27 for 367 yards. Titans, fourth quarter, Toledo in 2021. Ravens, Rutgers, 2022. If we put it in that context, I would imagine he would stop talking about it like those games meant a whole hell of a lot. All right, now I'm done. Now we'll go to break. But before we do that, I want to talk about people who are self-aware and they understand getting the customer into the right vehicle is what they're all about. Monument Chevrolet. Check out what they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com and then head on out there. Go to Pasadena. They're in Beltway 8. They're off of Beltway 8 in 225. And when you go that, out there, you're going to see the same prices you saw that got you to the lot on those cars. They don't switch it up. They don't change things. They make sure they're consistent with the prices and with the service. When you've been in business for over 50 years, that means you know what you're doing. That means you know how to serve the local customer and make sure the car buying experience is a great experience. So check out the cars on the website, whether you're looking for an EV or maybe you're into the Chevy Trax. That car is modern. It's got a sporty styling and has a really spacious interior. And if you need cargo space, it's there for you. All set up for you to have a great car buying experience because, first and foremost, the car's got to be great, and then the people getting you into the car have to be great. So the website, once again, is monumentchevrolet.com. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.